Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I'd like to call the meeting to order. I'd like to add that the business on the presentations, Chief Madison is going to talk to us about senior safety, for senior abuse for a few moments. I'd like to put that in ahead of 3.1. As Ms. Madison has an appointment right after this. We'd like to take 8.2 off the agenda and put it on next week's next council agenda. That's the amendment grant agreement. And we'd like to add 17.3 in camera a personnel matter. Are there any other additions, changes to the agenda, deletions, whatever? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended. Councilor Fisk, Councilor Phillips, seconding, all in favor, it's unanimous, thank you. So, Ms. Madison, if you'd like to come forward and
gallery, welcome to your story. I wanted to thank the counselors and the mayor for meeting with me earlier today to put on these great t-shirts that says, "Let's talk about senior abuse." As you all know, June 15th, which is tomorrow, is World Elder Abuse. And I thought it would be a great idea to place some shirts on our counselors and mayor because you folks are our community champions. That are fearless about going out there in our community and creating awareness about abuse. So I'm going to read to you, because I'm not fully prepared, read to you just a little article that I wrote for the paper. On June 15th, senior safety programs in Southwest Nova are joining together to raise awareness of the social problem of senior abuse. In an effort to bring global awareness to this problem, the United Nations General Assembly designated June 15th as World Elder Abuse Awareness Day. World Elder Abuse Awareness Day provides an opportunity for communities around the world to join together to raise awareness of this issue and help reach out to those who are in need of support and assistance. Elder abuse or senior abuse are terms that are often used interchangeably to describe the experience of older adults who are abused, usually by someone they know and trust. Senior abuse can be defined as a single or repeated act, or as an appropriate action occurring in any relationship where there is an expectation of trust which causes harm or distress to an older person. Senior abuse is often considered a hidden and underreported crime. With stats of reported cases in developed countries ranging from 1 to 10%, those working with seniors and their families often feel that these numbers only represent the tip of the iceberg. Abuse of seniors can take various forms such as physical, psychological, emotional, sexual, financial, systemic, and abuse of rights and freedom. It can also be the result of intentional or unintentional neglect. In fact, many situations, seniors themselves often don't recognize or define the situation they're experiencing as abusive, and consequently do not know where to turn for help. Therefore, approaches to define, detect, and address senior abuse need to be provided within a context that is meaningful and responsive to the needs and concerns of the adults. Luckily, in Nova Scotia, there is help. The Senior Safety Program in Nova Scotia has been recognized as a leading approach to elder abuse prevention in Canada. If you have concerns or you're worried that an older adult in your life may be experiencing abuse, you can contact the Senior Safety Program in your area for assistance. Senior Safety Coordinators can assist by providing a broad range of information, community referrals, and support tailored in a manner that meets individual needs and concerns. Services are provided free of charge and not limited to those over the age of 65. On June 15th, senior safety programs in Southwest Nova Scotia and RBC branches are joined together to provide information at all RBC locations in Southwest Nova. We invite you to drop by the local RBC branch to get more information on senior safety and community resources in your community. And just to finish, I'd like to say that especially in Southwest and in our region of cleaning, in my short time as senior safety officer, I have discovered abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, sexual abuse, neglect, pretty much every abuse except the Senate I have discovered in our small region. And unfortunately, I'm discovering that more and more every day as our population grows older and older. And sadly, it is the people that, you know, most people that are doing abusing are not monsters. They're people that we know and trust and love. So it's very important that all of us here today, if you know of someone, if you feel this may be happening, please contact me for the Citizens Control Shelter. Thank you.
Thank you,
Natasha.
Any questions?
So are seniors 55 and older?
Yes. Well, for our senior program, we consider it 55 and older. For the elder abuse day, they classify 65 and older. But for our program, we would see anyone free of charge 55 and older.
That's a lot.
Well, we all know what the numbers are for seniors and our legal. Yeah, those are senior cards.
Conspiracy.
I like that. I like what you're saying, what you're trying to do, because as you have said, I think if it's somebody that you don't know and in your house and you're kind of suffering or whatever, you're quickly to react to that. But when someone you trust and love, you become more normal. And that's a shame that it becomes normal. You know, we're in a society now where you don't respect all these people. You know, don't give the proper respect to the elderly. And I like what you're trying to do, and as you go forward, I know you've got practice for it and what you do.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
That's good.
I know that it's a challenge for you because you only work part time, correct?
Yeah, so
yeah, that's okay. I've heard that 2 days a week. 2 days a week, but yes, there's a need for it in the county. So when the funding time comes around, it's important that we remember that.
Absolutely. I would appreciate that.
Yeah.
And certainly
one
to come to another presentation.
Okay. Anybody else like to take a McMaster? Appreciate it. I took my shirt off because I thought I would be in a conflict of interest and because senior abuse right next to me. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Very
well. Thank you.
I'd like to call on Andrew Gussie to come forward and make a presentation on the 3.1 keys.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, Councilor, Region Clean staff, and Planning Committee. I'd like to thank you for making time on the agenda for me. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Andrew Bursey. I'm the general manager of the Dixie Lee restaurant on Main Street. My father, David, is here today. David is the owner of Dixie Lee and has operated Dixie Lee in Liverpool from 1979 to 1992, and again from 2012 to present. I'll be speaking on behalf of myself and my father in the interest of our own business operations. However, there are other brick and mortar restaurant owners, some of whom are here today, to support what I'm saying. There are restaurant owners who have written letters to council. I've spoken with several of them, and some of their thoughts will be included today in my arguments. I'm here today to add my voice to the debate concerning mobile food truck vendors and the bylaws that govern their operations here in the region of Queens. I'd like to start off by saying that I'm all in favor of competition in a free market capitalist system. Mobile vendors have every right to operate their businesses here. I work very hard at my business and I don't mind competition. Competition is what makes businesses strive to improve and become better, but capitalism can only work when everyone plays by the same rules on an even and regulated playing field. So, which brings me to the proliferation of food trucks in municipal parking lots, and specifically next to the Visitor Information Center in Liverpool, has resulted in an uneven playing field. Mobile vendors who set up next to the VIC have an unfair advantage to be able to conduct their business in prime waterfront locations without paying commercial property tax or rent of any kind. The food trucks, all of which are actually trailers, each occupy several parking spots next to the Visitor Information Center, taking advantage of Privacy Park, VIC washrooms, and picnic tables. They appear to operate relatively unregulated here in the municipality. So by being allowed to set up when and where they like, the mobile vendors have a distinct advantage over permanent establishments. They can set up at peak times, in prime locations, and stay home when business would otherwise be slow. So it's my view that the best way to develop a good reputation as a place to do business is to provide a fair, comprehensive, and regulatory environment. And except for a vendor's license that comes with a nominal annual fee, regulation of food trucks in Queens is lax and unenforced. Considering current rural economic conditions, fiscal restraint, and rising taxes, everyone should be expected to pay their fair share. Restaurants and cafes in Liverpool pay high taxes. We have all invested significant amounts of money into our operations, and to allow food trucks to pay little or no fee for the privilege of setting up in prime locations and taking advantage of municipal resources for free is contrary to the competitive environment that Liverpool should be fostering. So currently the bylaw situation is a bit confusing, which may be part of the problem. There are three bylaws that pertain to this discussion, bylaw number 8, bylaw number 10, and bylaw number 16. Bylaw number 8 restricts the use of marked parking spaces in municipal parking lots to one vehicle for no more than 3 hours. Bylaw number 10 restricts the sale on municipal lands of any goods of any kind whatsoever to the covered open-air market area in the waterfront parking lot. Bylaw 16 provides licenses to be issued to vendors on municipal property. So we see there's a direct contradiction here between bylaw 10 and bylaw 16. 10 saying that you can only vend in a certain area, and number 16 saying you can vend anywhere on municipal land, is the way I understand it. But as you can see, the bylaws need a little bit of attention. So here are my recommendations. Bylaws that govern vending in public spaces need to be overhauled. Fees and locations need to be addressed. The fee should not only reflect the costs incurred by the municipality, but they should a fair market rental of the municipal land being used. The locations of the vendors need to be explored. Prime waterfront parking next to the VIC should not be made available. This area was developed for use by everybody and not just a few commercial enterprises. There are some exceptions that I would suggest. Exceptions should be made for special events such as privateer days to allow festivals to make their own rules to govern vendors. Exceptions should also be made for the farmers market and privateer park. And special consideration should maybe be given to Val at DJ's farmers market given her longevity and longstanding in our parking lot. Clearly, it's not a cut and dry issue, and there are some problems to work out. At the end of the day, all I'm asking for is fairness. I'm not asking for a ban on all food trucks. I'm just asking for fairness. It's not up to me to decide what happens, but I would recommend that the region work in collaboration with its business community, including food truck operators, to come to a fair solution. So thank you for your time and consideration of this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Bessier.
Sure.
Any questions, Mr. Bessier? We have a discussion under 8.1 on the agenda.
No questions, comments, and not
with yours.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Item 5 is the opportunity for members of the public, press council, or questions, whatever. the rules of the game are, should give their name and civic address, and we try to limit discussion to about 5 minutes. Yes, Mr. Rozier.
Thank you, Your Worship. My name is Pierre Rozier. I live at 316 Bells Point Road in Bonneville, Nova Scotia. I am the owner and operator of Vassalap Food Truck Concession Services, operating in Liverpool, Shelburne, and Bridgewater, as well as other places. The only comment I'd like to make at this time is that I would like to be given an opportunity at a future council meeting to provide counterbalance and rebuttal to the items discussed here this morning. Thank you.
Thank you. And the way to arrange that is to contact the municipal clerk and we'll move it on the agenda. If anybody else would like to address council, Mr. Bagley.
Thank you, Mayor Clark. David Bagley, non-medical lane. I was unfortunately the victim on one of my properties of vandalism and litter in the last couple of weeks. I contacted the RCMP regarding the matter. I then subsequently contacted Bylaw Officer Kelly Ann Hurley, Regent of Queens. Both were very supportive. Solutions were found, signs were put up. And I would like to personally thank Kelly Ann and staff and the Regent of Queens for the support in helping to control this issue. Thank you.
Thank you. It is a problem, and the region has suffered recently at the BIC, which is a significant problem. But thank you for your time.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, Leon Robinson, Congressman Liverpool. With respect to 8.1 there, the mobile food vendors and so on, it looks as though that the terms of the bylaws would be looked at and possibly revised, and some thoughts there would be, I assume that they don't pay any rental on the municipal property, they pay $10, I believe it is, a year for the license and the parking, and you provide the space. In fact, maybe when you're looking at the bylaw, you look at if they're using municipal property and so on, the designated areas where they could be, and also what that may be a rental fee there, along with the license fee. And the license fee, that maybe you should look at as well. I think that figure has been on the books for a number of years, the $10 fee. And I don't mean going way up in large numbers, but at least maybe make some adjustments when you're looking at the bylaw. Mm-hmm. And then try to be fair to everyone. Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address council? Mr. Cox.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I guess the problem, if it is considered a problem in regard to mobile vending trucks, is something that's being dealt with across the province of here. It seems to have rejuvenated itself at one time. It was limited to commercial houses and certain streets and so forth, but now they're branching out throughout the province. Several nonprofits are expressing similar concerns on privateer days and so forth. They thought they had a corner on a particular market and they cooperated with their fellow organizations. And but now the mobile trucks are coming in and they're covering the whole spectrum, so that it's not just competition from your neighbor and your fellow service partner or whatever, but it means that while the crowds are not getting that much bigger, with due respect to Brian and his crew, the market seems to be getting smaller for the local products. My second item is in regard to the item 14, and I note from the visitation with the students at the little school that there are several items in there that have been batted around for a number of years, and some of these items that have been rejected, studied to death, and whatever, are now appearing in the minds of our youth. I can express sympathy to the sentiments that they're putting forward, but I would think that there's a need from either the Queen's Place staff or members of council or whatever to address these issues of the reoccurrence of items such as freebies within a structure that has been suffering large losses and while these are being addressed, it looks like they're going to be released for a while. And Father, that's been expressed that we need to get more people in just to see what we have. We are putting a lot of activities within that small area, the majority of which are free. And I think that when addressing our views and so forth in regard to the facility, we need to bear in mind that things like this free swimming on Friday afternoons and this sort of thing are items that need to be addressed from the cost and cost and property issues that I was surprised to see some of these things because the parents attended the two meetings which were sponsored by Ms. Carvey, and some of these items were addressed, but obviously they weren't passed on to the next generation who will be inheriting these facilities for too very long, because I'm one of those seniors that was the best in the early presentation. Thank you.
Yes, Dr. Shalek, the background question.
I'd just like to respond to Mr. Kopp's statement. Private Care Day has a really good relationship with all the vendors, and throughout the years, we've worked with all of them. Every vendor that you're talking about that you see on the waterfront is paying $500 to be in the park for the weekend. So we don't consider them competition at all. We consider them part of our vendor family, and we've worked very well with them. So just wanted to clarify that.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Sheila Anderson, 357 Highway 8, Wilson. As a business owner in the area and an entrepreneur for 16 years, I just wanted to weigh in on the food vendor comment, or make a comment, that I encourage council to seek information from both sides before making any decisions in regard to the bylaw. I feel, as a person in a service industry who has extremely a lot of competition, I think it's important that we hear from both sides to come to a conclusion that will make everyone happy, in brick and mortar as well as the solution. And I can offer any services.
Thank you. If there anyone else would like to address council on any matter, or ask any questions of council for clarification? If not, thank you. We'll move on to the agenda. Item 6, I entertain a motion to approve the minutes of May 24th. Council Waterman moving, is a seconder. Council Fancy seconding, all in favor. It's unanimous. And then for the public hearing, which is held on May the 24th, for a minute, we need to approve those. Councillor Fisk moving, Councillor McLeod seconding, all in favor, it's unanimous. And for the special council meeting held on May 30th, we need to approve the minutes there. Councillor Fancy moving, Councillor Bullock seconding, all in favor, it's unanimous. And that was the 20th, I'm sorry. And this will be a special council meeting. I can go back until the 30th. Councilor McLeod moving, Councilor Ingalls seconding. All in favor. It's unanimous. I'm sorry to wear your arms out like that, but thank you. Do we have anything on the dangerous and unsightly premises? No? Okay. That brings us to item 8.1. This is a discussion on, and no motion is needed on mobile vendors, mobile food companies. Who would like to lead this course? Are you, Mike, going to lead it off to begin with, and whichever you
Yeah, I can register to, I guess with a question, I guess with a brief review of the existing bylaw number 16, which is the bylaw affecting venue. The current bylaw was approved by council back in 2014. The bylaw itself pertains specifically to municipally-owned property, so any new building on private property does not fall within the guise of this bylaw. The bylaw itself just defines venue. It doesn't differentiate the various types of food truck vendors or the mobile stand or whatever. It all falls under the definition of a venue which is offering goods for sale. All business owners wishing to operate a vending event on municipal property are first required to obtain a license through a fire law enforcement officer. There's a number of requirements under the bylaw that the application of the applicant needs to meet to get their license. The annual licensing fee is nominal at $10 per year, which is good for iteration or expiry on March 31st of the year after the application is made. The bylaw includes a number of regulations that each vendor has to meet and to comply with during the operation. And there have been a number of amendments made to the bylaw over the years. I think the fee structure itself is one of the items back in 2007 that fee structure was amended, reducing that from a $300 fee down to the $10 fee. The most recent amendments that have been made more centered around the group vending and vending at Queen's Place and Mirror Center. But the content of location, some of the requirements of under the bylaw that the vendors need to meet, that stuff really hasn't been looked at in the last number of years. So we've had a look at some of the other bylaws from municipalities within, I guess, our area. There are some variations. Most of the main content is the same. Some actually break out mobile food vending from the rest of the vending, but our bylaw is all encompassing the types of vendors that can operate. The prices within or the application fees vary as well from municipal unit. The ones we looked at ranged from $100 up to $250 for an annual licensing fee. So I guess with to Charlie and just touch on it, the process that's involved in that with the getting to obtain a license.
Should be noted as well that many other municipalities charge weekly, biweekly, monthly, or annually. The basic application process, and it hasn't changed much over the course of probably the last almost 10 years. It just basically gives us the information regarding the applicant, their particulars, a description of the stand, a description of goods and services that are being sold, if whether or not they're using a vehicle as part of their stand, the location, municipal locations as to where they would like to vend, and if they plan to vend during special events and festivals, because again, in 2014, the vending bylaw was revised to accommodate the larger events and festivals, and if whether or not they will be vending at Queen's Place and Mirror Center and or the Hank Snow, because now, as per the revision in 2014, it's the permission of the managers of those facilities. If they require any exemptions pursuant to the bylaw, to the vending bylaw, and of course,
they are given a copy of our zoning bylaw with the application process, which, as Mike said, and as noted in the bylaw, the annual fee is $10. It was questionable several years ago whether or not that fee should be raised, but it was left as is to accommodate any prospective vending thinking. I can tell you that we are probably the worst in the entire province. Yeah.
Okay, discussion. Who would like to speak on that? Council Bellamy.
This is only for the municipal province.
Yes.
And there is a provincial version of food mailing version that goes with the box and tray. These wagons.
It's just not, I guess, we don't refer to the, I guess, our bylaw doesn't make reference to that requirement. But the term that they require is
that doesn't end up. And it looks like we'll be looking at the bylaws and we're doing some changes, but I have a couple issues there on something other than that, which is the door to door, which I live in the country. And I get my farm fresh eggs door to door, and also my fish right directly from the plant, and that has a little bit of a cost, a little bit of extra cost, but good quality. And I can't understand that. And most of my people will
listen. We'll do that to accommodate.
But it'll be interesting to see how it works.
Well, there's a list of food safety guidelines for public markets and vending, provincially legislated, and it was once the Department of Agriculture, but now it's the Department of Environment. We do make reference to the vendors that apply for a vending license consideration, but that's not to our responsibility. It's an expectation of the vendor.
I've got a lot of hands going up, so I'm going to start from the right and move to the left. So then, want to speak in that order? Is that all right?
No.
Councilor Fish, do you want to speak in front of Councilor Fancy?
I enjoyed how everybody presented things today, because it wasn't terrible. Cost is charged to be $8.99. It's just a matter of just trying to look at our regulations and how we do things. Again, it's not coming to cost is. The people who are coming in here trying to begin with a food truck such as I'm feeling, they're trying to make a living too. So it's a matter of us trying to work something that's going to work for everyone. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it all here today. One person that mentioned here, well, they would like to be able to speak, but they some other things that they have on their mind too. So it may be something that may have to be looked at and put back to making your recommendations because I saw what you did. We can look at some others, and you said there were from $100 to $250 across the province for vending fees. That may be something that maybe has been looked at and see if that meets everybody's needs or something. I don't know. It's something we want to try to make everything so everybody's happy.
Thank you very much for your presentation and for the comments of other councillors today. It was very well presented. Vending, food vending operators has become a huge trend now. I mean, years ago, and I was on council when we established the existing bylaw, because there's bylaw before this existing bylaw, when I think fees were $100 and we reduced them down to $10. Accommodate small operators who want to set up their own parking lot or down in the market area. Not under the market home, but under in the area there. But I do acknowledge the fact that food vendors, they're even having festivals in the province now for big trucks and that sort of thing. And I know Wolfville, and thank you for Andrew's list on his email that sent us information about the municipalities and how they have had to revise their vending bylaws And I think we have to have a strong revision of our vending bylaw. And the suggestion of separating it between what types of vendors, maybe have one for specific food vendors, if that really works. And I think it is all about fairness, and I really acknowledge the what we call the bricks and mortar businesses. They made a strong commitment financially to the business and to our community and to taxation. And I really enjoy going to the food vendors. I've gone to Dust the Lab and enjoyed that experience. And it's all about an experience too. When you're bricks and mortar, you're sitting down, you're enjoying the environment, you might want to have a glass of wine, you might want to have something. That's an experience. Vending out on the street, vending is another experience. Grab something, take it in your vehicle, or sit down at a, you know, a table outside somewhere. Those are the trends that are happening. And I really strongly suggest that we look at it and we get the input from all the various people that have a stakeholder in here. And I strongly suggest that we come up with a really fair price, because it's all about the dollars and cents. And that's why it's good and hard. It's just the hard cost of business. I've been a business operator. I know what it's like. I know what competition is all about. Competition is good, but it has to be in a fair way.
Sure.
I would like to know why we went from $300 to $10. It seems like a dramatic drop.
No, actually, I don't. I know her former clerk was involved. And I was looking back through the minutes. It was a comment from one of the former counselors that the fee structure was too high and that it should be looked at. But the minutes don't reflect the entirety of what the conversation, so I really can't say.
Farmers markets covered under this. I assume that it was related to damage for
Yeah. At the same time, I believe the piece of the farmers market came for 10 times. It was possible to call my farmers off the national.
It's probably within the area for myself and the food truck.
Exactly. And for 8 years, I've never had any issues until the close this year. As Susan said, it is a growing trend. And imagine my frustration trying to find a spot for them that I consider to be ideal. But most importantly, we have to take into consideration safety and destruction of traffic flow. So we are very limited as to where we could put these trucks. And when the applications come in for our office, you know, we'll get one in April, maybe one in May, and then suddenly we get another one. It's like, oh my goodness, where are we going to put these people? And it has become a challenge. So I believe location and fees are like definite must.
I want to talk a little bit more about location as well, because it's been brought up at that time, location. Without the food truck, I'm not sure what else would be there. It's been an empty parking lot for a long time.
All day parking.
Yeah, all day parking. And
one Liverpool Adventure Open.
Yeah. But I just think that if they were in a position to come back, that may help them with the extra traffic now, rather than the people that's up there and tend to sort of a littering problem. So I'm not as concerned with the area. I think that the DID is there for everyone to use, and we should promote that so that the washrooms are available. We have a town that has public washrooms, such as every school and the town hall, and we should be able to use those no matter who's in there. So I'm not as concerned with location. These buses are there.
Councilor English.
I wrote a few notes when I was reviewing the other day, and then I noticed her when Andrew was sitting up on the street floor. Excuse me, I remember correctly. So, somebody who's a participant in the private theater market, what's the date name?
That's your promise?
Yeah, the week in America.
The week in $7 a day or $15
a week. Oh, sorry, no, your market is. Right. You organize much.
$75
for the price right now. That will not
work.
No. Do you like it?
And they pay
for so that too much.
Yeah.
So the reality is, I don't think it's government's job ever to pick and choose winners and losers. And I think that's something maybe we could review at the same time we can review the whole bylaw, because that is, people are doing commerce there. So you know, they, understandably, they shouldn't pay the same $3,000 that I paid for my building, but perhaps, you know, perhaps that's not enough. Maybe it's too much, but this, I think, is a good time to review that again. The, we have in this bylaw that they have to have the $2 million of liability. Are we enforcing that?
The vending bylaw?
Yeah.
That's for the private care.
And so what I see here, the bylaws usually reflect the time and what was going on at the time they were amended.
Right.
So, you know, this is a perfectly logical point in time. There's an evolving landscape of how people want to use municipal property and how to make sure that it's being equitable. So I'll ask another question, but could you first, Mike, explain how we go about amending the bylaw?
I guess Council just was your direction, staff to go back and essentially look at the issues that are present at the time, restoring the discussion for review, we can look at the size of other bylaws in our jurisdiction. So,
we don't need to refer to CAC to just amend
the bylaw council, so that certainly can improve the stakeholder consultation. As part of that process, it's really excited that the direction of council is to the
Right. So from my perspective, I think that we're in a position that we need to go back and look at this and offer a revision, but I think we either need to do two separate focus groups within it or create a second bylaw, in that you can't pick and choose, unfortunately. Oh, you know, this guy's only going to sell such two times. You know, if you're having a regular vending bylaw, you try to find something that, you know, there'll be times that some people say, well, that's crazy. They're charging that guy $50, so we change that too. And he's only going to sell $20 of the such. Well, you can't take everything case by case. It's not possible to do that. But I do think there's the food truck or the mobile restaurant, I think probably deserves its own designation or its own bylaw, because it is a clear difference, you know, as a full blown business versus some of the activities that go on with somebody selling their fudge or their toll painting or.
And I think there's certainly opportunity, and I guess that I wouldn't look at it as a separate bylaw, but within the venue bylaw to break in, and some of the other bylaws that we've looked at have done that. They keep on separately a mobile food vending, and within the bylaw itself, they set up a special section for different terms and conditions that mobile food vendors have to meet or different regulations within that bylaw. So,
and every day, do they have different policies and fee structures? Does that mean well?
I think we need a distinction.
Yeah. And by themselves. Have you heard?
Yeah. The other question I had, so for special festivals, for example, for charity, and I'm from that address to the chancellor, so you're charging out less fee for charity to the vendor?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, because a number of years ago, we used to calculate a percentage of profit.
Different.
Right.
Okay. The vendor is very different from the background. Well, not a good example.
Somebody's
charging out. Who will pay $50 for a weekend?
Because it's part of this bylaw that we're discussing, because we do have profit businesses coming in, and, you know, that are, and what are they paying the region of Queens to do business here when they're here for 5 years?
$10.
Outside of the park, $10. Inside of the park, they pay, $75 on the entire event. So basically what you're saying, Bruce, is that Privateer Day Commission is doing exactly what you're recommending, right? With having charging as per what the business is. So the artisan, am I correct by saying that the artisans are paying $60 for the weekend, and the food vendors are paying for $100?
Well, I don't think that on a larger scale, because Privateer Day is a one-off. It's a one weekend. If we can break out to 25 different categories or something, at least two. But I do something up there a little bit.
Yes, you may know me.
I do believe that sometimes you have to reinvent the six things that are functioning. And the conflict between the bylaws needs to be looked at. We've got one parking lot bylaw which is certain ways, and then it's being contradicted, so we want to pick that stuff. I'm like Councillor Frelick. I do believe that we need to look at the location. That is a recreational location based for DIT parking. Often, especially in summer months, we have those large towing vehicles that come into there. I also hear Kellyanne's comment about where we put them, because of safety, and not wishing to take away parking for other businesses. We hear from the region often, and we see from the region area, and we hear from region members regarding that we're impacting access for such disabled members at their building. It's been a long time since I've seen the parking lot full, except for special event weekends. I think we need to look at all possibilities, such as cordoning off a section of the parking lot area for food trucks. In a lot of the larger towns and cities, food trucks are often in the area, and people actually walk to that spot because of the quality, because of the food. The books and the year-round people that have their year-round businesses, they work hard during January, February, March, when there's so few people at food operations. They work hard in the summer to pay up those bills, and they are under a critical eye much more. On the other hand, food trucks are a way of life, but yet we need to find a fair balance. We want to encourage our year-round restaurants. They're essential for the community, and yet food trucks are the quick and easy for people to pass them by. So I don't think it's something that that bylaw is turning to a mess, because of so much political interference the last time around.
That
mess happened because of a particular concern. And that is what makes bylaws turn into a mess. When we get too much political interference, somebody running something for a friend or somebody running something for something to church. I think we need to look down the road. We've heard before in the past, there's been what happens when the car people want to come into town and have an auction? What happens when someone doing house prayer wants to come in and set up a municipal land and have a big house prayer sale? It's not just food things we need to look at.
Those vendors are very easy to accommodate, because I normally would accommodate those types of vendors in Centennial approach to the park. But because of the size of these mobile trucks, very hard to put them on a lawn, and then of course they have to justify the damages to the property and so on and so forth. Handicap parking has become an issue. RV parking has become an issue. We weren't expecting that many. And it should be noted that the owners of those businesses are all residents of Queens County now as well. It was stated to me that one vendor will come outside of the municipality, and he has since relocated here, so they are all residents of ours. I think the ideal thing is to find an ideal location, stick to that location for the mobile food vendors, and of course to increase the fee to make it fair.
And whether or not there was increase, I'm not hung up on that.
I don't.
But you see, well, we talk about rent and we talk about.
You like to invite people in.
And we talk to people in Nova Scotia. I'm not hung up on where people are. But still from Queen to looking for make the fee much more equal to those that are paying. We believe that. And I think we should allow staff. My third point is I do believe we need to hear from the mobile truck vendors and the restaurants. We need to somehow find that ground. Or hopefully there can be some consensus for this.
Okay, CAO, and then me, and then Councilor McLeod.
The staff doesn't have a report on the people here who's talking today, so we're putting on what we're hearing on the ground to change, we're getting direction to review, to find GC consultation with business owners impact of both mobile vendors and bricks and mortar vendors. Develop a revised bylaw reflecting our analysis and what we heard. There's also some, there's capacity currently within the existing bylaw, in fact, and I'll ask Kelly Ann to expand on this with regard to direction with respect to location. And in fact, I believe if you want to share that there's not some direction or work underway.
There is.
So if you could expand on that, just so if there's change happening, it's not necessarily related to this conversation.
Are you referring to the optional
property?
I have made notes here, if you can confirm this, to the mobile food truck vendors that they do have the option after Carter's here today to relocate to the once was Legion property. Now, I've given them the option. I did not dictate that. I have given them the option to relocate. That perhaps might make things easier for them. I know Pierre was playing it by ear. Mr. Andrew Rukowski said he may be interested, and I believe Dash Cafe, they're quite pleased with being adjacent to the farmer's market. We do try to accommodate our vendors, but again, that being said, that property will be available after Friday's weekend.
Okay, I have two or three things to you, Councilor McLeod. First of all, there's been reference made to safety. I noticed as recently as yesterday, food vendors passing on the yellow cross-hatching, which is obviously cross-hatched to prevent people parking there so that you've got a clear line of sight when you're leaving the parking lot. So that is a safety issue, and it's something that needs to be looked at. That's a detail. I've been very impressed with the discussion that's been carried on both here and Mr. Burch's presentation, and the letters that I've received. I've received one from the Chamber of Commerce supporting its members, one from the Dancing Chicken. We've had a couple of emails, but one letter in particular I really like, which arrived this morning, and give me a minute to read it. First of all, it starts, Your Honor, I liked it because that was a promotion that I hadn't expected. Your Honor, just an observation concerning the fee mobile food concessions currently operating on the waterfront. Has anyone considered having all three locate on the old Eaton property which you acquired from Ken Anthony? I think with all three set up there and the region installed a number of picnic tables and benches, it would make a nice relaxing spot and will go hand in hand with the market across the street. at a very minor cost, a nice sign could be erected, calling it the Bill and Bertie Nicholson Food Park. Thank you for reading the letter, which appealed to me. I think that the procedure should be at the end of this discussion that we refer the whole matter to staff and ask staff to come back within a reasonable period of time, a couple of months. That should bring the permits that are out there now, I'm told, are good for the year, so that any changes we make won't really become effective until the next vending season. But we refer it to staff to look at and come back with a report and continue the discussion. Councilor McLeod.
Well, you just dealt with one of my questions, and that is about the existing permits that are issued. I mean, there's nothing that we can do. We don't want to slap a big fee under these buildings.
No, no. These permits expire March 31st of 2017, and location would not be an issue under this permit.
So in the interim, then, we'll be reviewing the existing bylaw and having discussions with both sides and really try to come up with a fair solution to the issue. Also, I just did check regarding provincial licenses for food vendors, and under the Department of Agriculture, food establishment permits are required for anyone that has even a mobile unit, so I just wanted to make sure that that was part of the bylaw, because not in our existing bylaw now, there isn't any provision for that. And so you talk about safety, you talk about traffic safety, you know, those sorts of safety, but there's also food safety that has to be
this was in full effect last year. Our bylaw was revised in 2007. But it is a question that we asked her then before we were in the state. And it should be fairly clear.
So we consider a power supply at privacy of parents and old region property that the vendors do use.
Then we're going to bring this to the main hub.
If we bring this to take this back to staff looks at it, and we say, okay, we're not going to make any changes to this, we're already set up for the year, can there still be the safety end of saying we're looking at the location property?
Yeah, location.
The location, that's broken. But that hasn't changed.
Any existing vendor applications that are in and/or permit issue, the case cannot be adjusted until.
But location changes, maybe you can say safety, we could say, I'm not the possibility saying contagion.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
But anybody new coming in after the bylaw is effective will certainly be subject to the new fee structure or whatever that regulations may be. So.
Are we done on that subject? So we're referring it to staff. When would we like them to report back?
Summer.
What do you think up here, Councilwoman?
I think summer's on with the bonus.
Well, yeah, so. But the world shouldn't start going around in summer because it's summertime. It usually does stop, but there we are. So if we have something back by first council meeting in September, is that time enough? That's a very much start. Okay. So can we make a note that will be on the agenda in September, please? Thank you all very much. That brings us to 8.2 is being put aside for the next council meeting. 8.3 is in your binder. Yes, we are going to talk on it now. Just let me find it, my spot.
I'm with the motion. Is that the council region being municipality with the contract for commercial real estate brokerage services, jury rate and charter limit at the quarter commission may seem fair for 1 year term, with an option to renew for 2 1-year terms at the discretion of the municipality. In accordance with the request for proposal issued on May 16, 2016, and the proposal received from them for the June 1st, 2016.
This is a second of that motion. Councilor Clark. Discussion.
This was coming out of our strategic priorities. We talked about looking at more actually working on our surplus properties.
Particularly, we have the clean crossing lands, which we have to set up sometimes for our own forests that we've not sold. We've also recently purchased property that would be ideal for a housing development, and maybe others that come up that council identifies that this property co-age. The question proposal was issued, responded with only one response. Staff did the due diligence on the respondent, from the Grayson Partners, and recommending the award to this company, and hopefully we can start moving and activating some of our surface properties.
Questions or questions? Deputy Mayor Norman.
So the hourly rate is not applicable where it's commission rate.
Right.
So it would be vendor only, or both? How, what would be, let's say, from a quota piece of land for $100,000, how much money would you give them?
So the spot of jail is, so it's not on here, there's a range depending on the value. If they sell it, it's 3.5% of the value.
So it depends upon the value of the land? And one last question. If the reason is approached directly by a company or individual not realizing the term of Grayson Partners, that is now one of our
scoops. We can't scoop all the copies of us.
So they, we will scoop all of them, and regardless of whether we're contacted.
That's right.
And they also do all the paperwork? Like just as a private real estate company, where they will look after all of those, all that stuff.
Councilor
Ingalls. I noted in the package, Richard, that 7 packages were taken and only one proposal submitted.
Yes.
So we get a sense from, for example, the local real estate community why they chose not to bid.
We didn't reach out to them. I was expecting more submissions.
Right.
But they chose not to. So we did the archaeological fellow who received the
right. I would be. You know, if we've received a lot of feedback from locals about, well, you know, if there's a reason we can't quote,
yeah,
I'd be more inclined to want to determine that we hadn't, you know, made an unrealistic request. But we didn't get that feedback, and we did get this, so we could go along with this, of course.
Any other discussion? All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. Item 9 is in here for information only. It shows the all of our expenses during the year that we have been in office since November of 2012. The only is here for information. The only point I would make is that just recently I was interviewed by someone from a paper in Limburg County who had done some research into the attendance of council meetings by councillors, and that our record for attending is significantly better than any other council in Queens and Limburg, and direct quote from the report of the coordinator was by a wide margin. So I think that speaks highly for all of our commitments, and thank you all for that. And I think when people look at these expenses and compare them with anyone else's, you'll find that they're kind of very low. Engineering and work. Councilor Waterman, do you have something?
Next Monday, we will be on the Saturday, somebody water for Saturday at the Patchwork. Separately, and they'll be working with the people there, and a project for the Saturday. And the landfill's doing really good. And I'm taking my head of it. Everything's doing well, pretty good.
Thank you. Just so the council attention.
So over in the local bridge, yeah, where they put that little park inside the building there, it did a very good job. It cut from the on the left side of the river. Captain commands our staff on how they put it up now, the way it looks now. And of course, everybody's using the new bridge, the old bridge, but it was told by the person with TIR, and they're going to this big platform on the west side of the river, and you have to get a big crane and look at the bridge and set it off. It's just interesting to see this other crane around some time. And I think it'll be a lot better prepared than where the other crane left the people.
Okay, I was very impressed too with the number of persons that turned out to walk the old and new bridges. I don't have a fairly number. And interesting how hard habits die, because after we had walked across the new bridge and they then opened it for traffic, and as we were about to walk across the old bridge, someone came from the east side, saw a car park approaching from the west side, and even though it's a train bridge, stop and wait on the other side.
Just an update on the Rockland Avenue water distribution upgrade, which is going to start to happen and hopefully completed by fall. I want to let everyone know that the engineering work foreman met with myself and the mayor and the CAO, and we discussed communicating with the residents here how the project is going to proceed. And I think it's a really good way to open up on communication so that everybody knows what's going on. And I know that our foreman has always been very approachable and has dealt with any questions or comments or issues that a lot of the residents in those project areas have. And I thank staff for providing that information. Each hotel is going to give them a letter with the actual date of start of the project, how the project proceeds, what it's going to cost in the end, and so on, and I really appreciate that. And it's something that they're certainly looking forward to, because they've had that water supply from the old bowl water system for years. Now they have potable water, because we've been supplying them with our water supply over the last year, and now they'll actually have meters in each one of their homes, which then is a fair way of distribution of the water system. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure that the project will proceed.
I thought the meeting was very good too. Suddenly we have a record, and I take my hat off to the engineering and works people, and particularly, all of them actually. But Kevin Beagle goes around, and has done, meets every household of them, he goes into one of these situations. And let's face it, these jobs are always inconvenient to people. But he always manages to allay concerns, work around issues that people have. But I will almost guarantee that for all the ones who've done in the past, none will prove as complicated as the Brooklyn water supply, where you've got people's water lines running from one house through one house into another one, and all that kind of stuff. But they'll unravel or not. So.
Not if you need.
Exactly. That's, good to have that job on the list. Yes, Council Woman.
And also, they had a good plan of the region getting a contractor for the lowest possible price, and that person does each house, because what the meters on your house you have to pay to get from, and they'll do that at the cheapest possible price, and they're all be done in kind of straight.
The water meter installation,
which I thought was a great
good idea, yes.
Yeah, because they probably had a better rate. Mm-hmm.
Is there any more discussion on engineering and works? Any questions? Those Council Woman. If not, we'll move to finance. Can we have anything on the finance council?
The report that our director and staff are doing a wonderful job.
Recreation and community facilities, Council Crowe.
Listening today about recreation cleaning, the summer program, which has been made available. Anybody that's been interested in one of those, we have a chance to come in available. And if they you see lots of events happening over summer, so this is a great step forward. Also, it's 2 weeks before we start planning today, so it's our last plug at council. And I just wanted to, for anyone that doesn't know, we're pregnant with the social multicultural. And so we have a festival within a festival. And Sunday's proving to be an amazing day of culture and cooking events. This festival was held in Lunenburg for the last 2 years, and so we're really pleased that we've been able to partner and move the festival to Queenstown. So start next Friday with some sports, and then it's going to be a great weekend, and the weather forecast is sun right through Monday.
Council President.
I guess I would be remiss if I didn't mention along with it, we have our privateer road race. Our privateer 5 mile road race. It's going on since 1970. It'll be on the 25th. We've changed it now to go along with privateer days. It's going to be at 8:30 in the morning, and we're going through the run, Nova Scotia. We're one of the only ones saying, hey, look, we're trying to bring a road race along with the festival so we can go to the training and make it a fair and
good
event.
Good. Okay. Do you need
I will quickly through our recreation in Queens booklet. And while many of us who live here know about the great swimming and picnicking spot that we have at the former Woods Hill Camp in Greenfield, and we all know the great asset we have at Beach Meadow Beach, and many of us may not know about Cat Lake and the fishing there, and that's where I'm going to be. As a recommendation for next year, I would recommend that in this book we put our recreational physical asset.
Good
idea. And so everybody does know Frank Swimming at Woods Hill Camp, region of the Great Lakes. Yeah. She doesn't need to put a boat in at Cat Lake. We don't know that what ends up there with all these people. We really need to. I mean, this is good for program selection.
Was your old plugging? I'd like to talk to Pine Grove at the present time. I've had occasions of getting down to Pine Grove several times recently. And it is stunning. It's coming into bloom. It's well worth the walk. Quite a lot of mosquitoes do feed. It's sort of, you know, you're only going to pet mosquitoes in Pine Grove. One of the reasons I went down is because of the azaleas down. What's right here, which is down at the bottom there, being badly eaten by sawfly larvae. I understand that they will re-leap out again after the damage is done, and we'll have to watch it for next year. But the rhododendrons themselves are stunning, and there's a lot more to come out yet. So take advantage of this great. Yes, Councillor.
Because we're rolling the plug box here. Tonight at Zion United Church in Liverpool, 7 p.m. is a vigil in support and remembrance of the events in Orlando. Don't have to be a member or religious, but anyone has to go.
Thank you. Any other comments on the recreation? That takes us to the Council McClellan.
Yes, I have a recommendation. I recommend that the Council of the Regional Queens should be named the county mayor. Maintain status quo respecting the utilization of the ground for building located at 325/327 Main Street, Liverpool, for further use.
Second of that motion, Councilwoman Secondly. Discussion. Now, if you want to give us a brief rundown.
Sure. I guess the application that was made, the property located at 325-327 Main Street, located within the commercial, downtown commercial C1 zone.
under the regular permitted uses within that zone, residential dwelling units are only allowed on the upper floors above permitted commercial uses. The municipal planning strategy does contain policy whereby council can consider the utilization of the bottom floor of properties or buildings within the 2-1 zone for residential purposes through a development agreement process. Planning Advisory Committee met and discussed this application last week after considerable discussion around the erosion of the commercial core area, which changing of these commercial vacant commercial spaces to residential uses, the impact that it has on the commercial area and the ability to provide future commercial space that the Planning Advisory Committee felt based on some decisions from council in the recent, back in 2014, council actually approved increasing the size of the C1 zone to accommodate a request for a new commercial business that it didn't feel that we should be taking away the potential for commercial development in that core area. So the Planning Advisory Committee recommended any status quo that these units be utilized for commercial space.
Thank you. Discussion.
In addition to Mike's comments, the Planning Advisory members did discuss this and looked at all the aspects of a commercial district versus a commercial district that allowed, the lower levels to be transformed into residential rather than commercial. And as Mike said, we felt strongly that we're trying to encourage commercial activity in a commercial district. We're looking at economic development planning and Main Street revitalization. And if the revitalization in a commercial district is trying to encourage other businesses to set up, that improves our business district. It would improve our commercial tax rate, and so we felt strongly that although the provision is there available for business, for building owners to apply, it doesn't really mean that it always has to be approved. And on the contrary, we have a residential just almost adjacent to this specific building that a couple of years ago we changed the zoning to allow for commercial operation there. And actually, that never really took place. It never happened, and that place is now before being slightly premised person to look at. But talking about commercial districts and commercial revitalization, if we erode and take away those spots, then any small business operator that might want to come in and set up shop would not have that option to buy space within an area where there's a whole commercial district. And also, I wonder, there was a building that was changed through that bylaw or through that planning document, and that was located down on Water Street, and the lower levels could be converted to residential, but that building owner had business operators in there. It's not commercial, although it could be used as a residential location from the corner of Market and Lee on Water Street. So sometimes when people buy these buildings, they know currently right now that there was a commercial operation downstairs. They have apartments upstairs. At that point in time, then they probably are trying to just get revenue for supporting the purchase of the building. But anyway, getting back to the commercial zone, we want to maintain the commercial zone and deal with the company.
Councilor
McClure,
that's I don't disagree with
the motion and the voting to it. There's a lot of successful towns all around this world which are a nice blend of residential and commercial. Residential does support the commercial district. That's a perfect site for two nice residential properties that we hear the need for, except sufficient parking. With the error, as I believe the error being to rezone that residential to commercial, at that point in time, one of the reasons given was, well, why should somebody have to go into one of the many vacant commercial spaces? And now we're telling the owner of a vacant building that you have to stick with the commercial. It's been empty for a long time. In my, when we look at our population in Queens, we have more than enough commercial space available on our block to provide space. England, all of your, they all blend residential, commercial, and short-term buildings. It's a big building, a ton of parking, but it's a great residential space. I am believing this motion, we do not have a big fight and a prize for commercial space in our present town. We have our downtown, we have our new modern, older vibe, so we have lots of commercial space. And now we told a building owner who wanted to invest in residential housing that he can't do it, even though council had needed this. And this was a battle before to get the right in here.
I'll be voting in favor. We already do have a mixture of residential and commercial in the downtown area. It's above the main floor. And we will be shooting it all at half slate. I will be looking in favor. The downtown is not all that big to start with, and we all have a residential. And that person is getting a source of income from its two-story building, so it's just a matter of money, really. That's all we might
have. I'm a big believer that buyer always has to be aware. And, you know, it does stand that by developers, you know, the agreement, council may choose to make that change. But when you buy a commercial building, there's no guarantee that council will agree to make that change. So, while I sympathize with the owner would like to be getting rent on that part of the building, I think that can be a dangerous slope to start with our commercial district. And, you know, there are others that have been enhancing that district and, you know, investing in the retail operation of the building. You know, there's the space there now. You know, there's the building next door, which at one point, and then we're being vacant, where the drugstore is, and of course, Paul's, the German bakery, I've done a lot to spruce up that in the town. That is a town that now feels like it's starting to thrive. Of course, once you move Arthur up there to the what I would call the Gunnery Lane location, with the cottage by himself, all of a sudden, and the Dancing Chicken in two spots that were empty for years, there's life on that end of town. And I remember when we had the discussion. Things that in their references were when we changed the position to the commercial. And I had a long chat with Robert Ross at that time. And Councilor Norman, I think Councilor Fancy and myself voted against that motion because we didn't feel that it was necessary to expand out the commercial zone. But I think we should continue to not expand it out. I think we should be continuing to rebuild it. And, you know, it's an ebb and flow. You know, there are times that, you know, there's been so much empty in our downtown, and there's times that it kind of fills up. So hopefully the owner can have those in conditions that will be prime when someone comes looking and feels different at it. So I'm going to support the motion to maintain the status quo on those improvements.
If anybody else wants to speak on this motion, I did hear from reading the draft minutes of the PAC that the motion to change was unanimously defeated and the motion to maintain the status quo was approved unanimously by the PAC. Any further discussion before I take the vote? All in favor? Counselor Maloney, is carried by a vote of 7-1. Thank you, and that brings us to, thank you, Mike. Item 14. And
I've
heard a suggestion coming that we take a 5-minute break because this is going to be a rather lengthy presentation from the meeting. And I would remind you that we have one less walkthrough than the facilities in America. Take advantage of it. Okay, 5-minute break.
We're having a half-time here.